Okay, so welcome to the Friday, October 25 meeting of the Runtime Config DB team meeting. We are, I hope, one of the agenda items I think we need to address is to fill out this Runtime DB, my Config DB project proposal, which is an architectural proposal that will propose this, the Runtime Config DB, as its, as a essentially as a new platform component. So we've gone through architecture and gotten approval to allow us to raise this, propose this as a new component, which after we fill this in, we have to present this to the architecture subcommittee. So I gotten direction from Stephen that we should, we can use the clamp. We can use the clamp page as a template to start with. And so I kind of started doing that. We can walk through this as a team to see how we should best fill this, some of this stuff up. Okay, so the proposed project name, Runtime Config DB, proposed name in the repository, Runtime Config DB, and this will be the name of the project, right? So if we scroll up here, I mean, this, it'll be called, like if we compare clamp, right? This will be the name, Holmes integration, whatever. This will be the official, actual name of the project. Is everybody okay with this? Can you hear me still?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Any objections? It's okay? Yes, no? I think Tom had, actually from, I think Tom was on the call, or Syrian, had a suggestion. They said to maybe call this the data persistency function, which also is a pretty good name too. Not opposed to that at all.
I like that one better.
I think that one's really good because it is what you're trying to do, right?
Yeah. So the they had a proposal to call it a data persistency service. I'm not attached to any particular name. So if you guys think that's good, I'm totally okay with it. I think, it started, the whole thing kind of started as we just, had an OFS on PCI. It was called the config DB. And then we said, well, there's more than just config. So we added runtime DB. And then the proposal from Ericsson on Monday, a discussion we had with Ericsson on Monday showed a slide deck, which is off of the runtime component page, which I won't go to now, but that had a data persistency service picture in it, which the label David persistency service, which again I thought was quite good. Joanne,
I think the configure DB really for the operator will use operational mainly at a really purpose for configuration. We should maybe still keep the configure DB, like the operation team in their mind already had this configuration DB they want to do certain things. I think it would be better for them too. Right. And the name already built like the AT&T brand name has been built in for years. So they just want to have new AT&T. They want AT&T brand name, right? That's the because the functions, the data consistency and the synchronization. That's really for our configuration database about it, right? We also had the synchronization too, right?
I know you feel very strongly to have the word config DB in there. So, I mean, when we called it runtime DB, you insisted that we had the word config in there. I don't feel as strongly as you do. So, I mean, if you say we must have the word config in there, I mean, maybe we can work it in there. But I do like data persistence, the data persistency service. It's a lot closer to what I think this thing is trying to do. And
well, is it generic that any data could be persisted to it? In other words, is it like database as a service?
Yeah, so I think so. It's not meant to be just configuration parameters, certainly. Well, we could probably spend the whole hour on just the name, but maybe we need to move forward a little bit. So,
yeah, Ben, I would say let's not talk about the name now. There are enough things to talk about.
Yeah, we can vote on it or whatever we want to. Okay. So anyway, for now we'll just call the runtime config DB. Just going through this page so we have something to talk about. So this thing is a platform component designed to serve as a data repository for runtime data that needs to be persistent. The runtime config DB is characterized by the following purpose statements. So it's a repository. The types of data that's stored in this are configuration parameters. These are configuration parameters that are used by the XNF during runtime. For example, a 5G network configuration parameter for a PNF that sets the mechanical tilt. So that's a configuration setting upon installation. Or operational parameters. These would be parameters that are derived, discovered, computed, requested, or used by XNF. Maybe not requested, or used by XNF during runtime. Computed that are used by XNF during runtime. For example, in a 5G network, PNFs may need to adjust tower electrical antenna tilt. So these operational parameters are purposely EXO inventory information, meaning that is information that doesn't belong in ANEI. And policy information. I took out the word future in all these because this is a project proposal and we don't want to be tied to a specific release, so we're just describing the overall vision of this thing. So policy information, this type of information stores policy information that orchestrates how ONAP shall operate, for example, policy, clamp control loop, and operational view type information. Okay.
Just to make sure, as I mentioned before, right, policy information, this is the overall scope of, I mean, this information won't be implemented in the
Correct.
Yeah.
You can't put in Frankfurt in here because this is an overall project proposal, right? So the this isn't tied to a specific release. This has to be the whole vision of the project, right? So.
Go ahead.
Sorry, no.
You want to go ahead, Shankar? Go first.
In the spirit of what Ben, what you're trying to do here is it clear that there are parameters which can be both configuration and operational the way this is defined? Because there will be an overlap.
Yeah, okay.
Is that okay? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, we can write something about that in principle.
But it's just data. How you classify it and use it can be different, right?
That is true, but we had a discussion last week about what different people think is configuration and not configuration, and there were different, perfectly good ways of.
Yeah, I mean, ways of, exactly.
As long as we know they can overlap, that's all at this point.
Yeah.
And also the policy information in here, it's really policy. They have two type policy. In terms of policy, how A1 policy, configuration policy. Mm-hmm. So you want to drag it on the future may not be good because also the scope may include the golden, golden, like I say, how do we, discover the network, the information for discovery tool, like golden parameter things. So that's also part of the scope, in the future, next release too. So you just say how much do we want to put in, this is only limited to the Frankfurt release, future we can add in. as a UAM.
Just limited to the Frankfurt release. This is an actual project proposal, Joanne. So this should have the whole vision of what we want to do now and in the future as well, I feel. So you don't want to limit yourself just to Frankfurt with this proposal. Yes, for the flows, because specifically the flows, the directive from the flows is that this should just capture what's in Frankfurt, right? So, but not the project proposal.
You're saying, though, in general is in terms of the scope. Initially, we will be using this for config and operational parameters, but could be used to accommodate other data such as policy.
Right. Correct. Right. So you're kind of new to this. For months we've been discussing basically it'll start relatively simple with what we have in it and what we store in it. So in R6, it's just focused pretty much just on configuration parameters, maybe a few operational parameters, but no policy information at all.
Right.
So if you look in the actual information flow, we specifically say these are things in the future, right? We purposely did that to let people know this is what's happening in R6. And I'm okay with that. That's fine because these architecture flows are specifically just they're per release, right? So they're trying to capture what's happening in this particular release. Mm-hmm. The proposal, on the other hand, is just done once, and it's only ever done once, right? So this is the initial proposal for the project. If you look at Clamp, for example, eventually this will be, we hope, an approved project, right? So if you look at Clamp, this is the original project proposal. And then from there, you can describe other things per release if you wish to.
No, I totally get that concept.
This is the vision of what this project
is. In which case, the name of the project shouldn't really be config.db, right? And hence your point before. Is that it has a broader scope. So the word config really becomes misleading because that's just the initial state.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't think we should have the word config in it, but Joanne is very insistent that we add it in there. So let's not debate the name right now. We probably need another separate hour-long meeting for that. But I completely agree with you. I don't think we should have the word config in there, but Joanne thinks we should.
Since you want to propose, because a little bit change in tone today, right? If we it's just as the original proposal, we need adding one more, say, like a network discovery, like a golden, we have to, that's the major, also will be part of the functionality we build into, right?
Mm-hmm. So network discovery information, I mean, that's an operational type thing, isn't it? But how is it different than these three categories of things? So topology information is essentially information that's operational. In other words, it comes into view once the system is up and running, right? It's discovered essentially, or derived. And you have, say, for simple example, you have two PNFs. So you've discovered that they exist and that they're associated with each other. So you have a linkage that says these two things are tied together, right? So if you want, I can add the word, for example, and network information. Is that okay for you?
No, the operation parameters, it's a little bit different from, like, we're talking about scope functionality, right? So one serves the configuration database. Second one will be operation parameter, mainly what ConfigDB will contain the data set, right? So we're like, how do we unlock for the RF information part, maybe a certain delay, throughput involved into the device. So the policy information, say O1, A1 in the policy, it relate to the how do we rule through the control loop, right? Mm-hmm. The first function we initial proposal say, the database will be, say, synchronization, in order to put the synchronization with device, we say we need to make sure the accuracy truly reflects 5G network. So we have to make sure if anything, the database has discrepancy from device, we need to network discovery called, you know, golden parameter, checking what's the term. We usually say network discovery. That's the functionality we're talking about reference to in here. Make sure that can accuracy of the data.
So maybe we should say, I can write a section for enabling enabled functions, right? Because we kind of talk about that. And the time config DB undergirds a set of underlies a set of functionality, or enables a set of functionality. Maybe enables is a better word. And that's kind of what you're talking about here. So so there's a number of things that runtime config DB allows ONAP to do once all that kind of data is there, right? So you know, all these functions you're talking about are some of those things, right? So
do you need to be able to talk about not just syncing, right? Or is syncing both the sync between the elements, as and how would you describe then keep maintaining it with Delta updates when I get notify events about a change? Where would you put that?
So I mean, eventually a lot of the you can think of a lot of things that basic functions just on the that are enabled, one, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Just on the syncing one, after sync in the middle of that line, you could put initial and delta.
Yeah.
To cover both the initial bulk operation where you sync with an external entity of some description, and then later that you keep in touch with, that you maintain an up-to-date reflection.
Or maybe instead of initial, you just use that word bulk, because I may want to do that, you know, once a day or whenever I detect that the delta is not, through a delta I detect that my I have a synchronization problem, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
All right. All right, so
Ben, I will add one more item here then.
Sure, go ahead, yes.
Access control.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can you describe what you mean by that?
I mean, essentially kind of RBAC policies, like who can update and what they can update.
So I think the access control also including security in here too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I think the ONAP emphasizes the security for each database AAF things.
Okay.
I have a somewhat broad question.
Yeah.
Do we have a sense of which module is responsible for consistency of this data, or is it part of this project? That data is as consistent as possible with the network.
So I think I don't think this should have a whole lot of brains in it, right? So you're talking about essentially what's the source of truth, right? So who owns the data? Who's the master of the data? You know, is it ENF? Is it ONAP? Is it, and within ONAP, is it at the controller, you know, or is it the runtime DB? I think we should limit the amount of logic that's needed in this thing to, you know, some change up defined already a set of dependencies of the data, and when that data changes, we should update that data. In other words, suppose I have two PNFs and one of them goes away, you know, of course you have to have some logic in there to know that I need to update something, right? But I don't think it should be, you know, the value of parameter 66 needs to be 12 when, you know, this other parameter over here in this other bit base station has, you know, its parameter 2, it has to be updated to 6, or, you know, to figure out which is the right value. You know, that kind of logic, that kind of analysis logic, analytics logic should reside in something like Holmes or the controller, and we should specifically try very hard to avoid depth of logic, I think, in the runtime config DB. I don't think you want to do that. However, you can say that this particular parameter, its source of truth is the PNF. In other words, if ONAP has a value of 12 for this parameter and the PNF has a value of 20, we're going to take the PNF's value. And we can have a bit, you know, that says for this particular parameter, what's the source of truth, right? So we can do the bookkeeping for ONAP to say, you know, for this parameter, the source of truth is that, and we can make that dynamic. I think that would be fine. But I don't think you want to add that if what I was kind of hearing.
True. No, I agree. The reason it's a huge topic and a huge responsibility, yeah. But this project is the closest we are coming to even addressing it.
Yeah.
So let me, before I respond, can I just ask what is the auditing? The auditing part is only against a template. So it's nothing to do with the data inside.
It's just enabling it here, right? It's a function that's being enabled, right? It's not saying it's doing these things. This is enabling them.
Yes. So it should be emphasized that it will enable the capability of something else, of another intelligent component in ONAP to perform auditing, but it itself will not.
It could be in ONAP or external to ONAP.
I understand, but I was trying to get at, there are two types of audits. One is you can check whether a parameter should be an integer. Is it an integer? Mm-hmm. And it should be data. Similar to some other parameter. That's one. The other one is actually checking whether it's the same as the PNF that you just mentioned. So is that included in auditing?
Go ahead.
So Shankar, you mentioned the second one. The second one, that's what we need for this database. Otherwise, that's true. So our base database will be, because we need to keep thinking the diagram we have, the architecture data flow. When we trigger the CM notify, so define the dual region define, the ICNR will go get the network device for Netcon EN. That will be updating to the config DB. That the flow already truly reflects, keep updating for the database. So when we define the requirement for the later on, say duration, how much frequency we need to update, right? So we have to keep, say, initial, like at least, like say, right now it's triggered by the CM to updating to the config DB use Netcon EN. That will be auditing too. So certainly we're talking about like the function golden template, say, just per se, we have the CY or something. They have the template to against the host.
Joanne, Sorry, if I may interrupt, I think you're answering a different question. I'm only asking, what is our intention for this database? It cannot be, it cannot do all consistency by itself. I was just asking if auditing includes, it enables auditing.
I don't think so. I don't think it's doing that. I mean, theoretically, yes, something could do that because you have the data store, right? This is simply a data persistence store, right? So it provides the data, and you could compare that to the network. You could compare that to a gold standard. Whatever you want to implement, you can do. So Ben, I was thinking in that where you talk about other, performed by other components in ONAP, I think one of the things of this repository, though, is also to be able to provide an external view of that data, too. So it's not necessarily only for ONAP components, right? We wanted this operations to be able to use their tools against this data lake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, some you get the gist. Yeah, you'll have to clean up, I think, the sentence a little bit. You have other components too many times in there, but
yeah. Okay. Maybe I should bold this because I bolded everything else. So Joanne, going back to your point about network topology something, did you want that as a fourth class of thing? I didn't quite get your point.
No, I don't think so. They shouldn't be included in here. That would be the may not be in here. Yeah.
Okay. So you're okay with what we wrote. Did you have any other that I'm not sure I completely
I think that's good. So far we pretty much we have all the information. Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Okay, so architecturally, the runtime config DB is designed to be a common services data layer, which will serve as a data lake to.
Well, that's where it's two other runtime components or external tools, right?
Entities, yeah.
And the David, the one time we just say Benji's reference, we will be the topology information, right? This is a. The ConfigDB will provide the configuration at the network layer for the topology information, run up from PNF to VM module to WinF, the vertical topology information. But they only input for first layer, the top layer, excuse me, and we still need the AMI. I think we should may not be involved to put in here. But it will give the support like foundation to support topology information. Yeah.
Okay. So do I need to change something for topology information? I mean, I think topology information is an operational type information, right? So
right. Mm-hmm.
It is a operation of a usage of the data, I would say. So do you want me to add the word
you
topology
say,
somewhere mm-hmm. or do you? Are you?
Or you can say provide a topology, both like a physical connectivity, all right?
No, it's not topology. Physical. It's not physical. I'm hesitant to put the word topology in because that becomes then a specific function. I believe that it's logical for one thing, and that's usually through the CM data that it stores. And it can be derived. And if this doesn't have the intelligence, then it shouldn't really know that how that data is used. And therefore, it can't really provide topology. As soon as you start putting the word topology, it needs to know how to traverse the data. So that's why I'm not thinking that you really want this to be your topology source. You could put another layer on top of it that allows it to know how to navigate this data set, providing a view of topology.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it enables topology management, right?
Yeah, or topology traversal. I'm not sure it manages it, but.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. Okay. It will enable the ability for something to traverse the relationship between
data elements.
Data elements, yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Good, I like it. Okay. Any other functions anybody would add or remove or update?
Yeah, just when we start talking about external tools, you kind of want to begin to think about backward compatibility, which I'm not entirely sure where it fits.
Backward compatibility of the tools? Oh, you mean versions of the data?
Of the data, yes. Because otherwise we will break external tools, and that never goes down well, in my experience. People get upset. So being able to do some level of guarantee or provide some surety that compatibility is maintained across.
Well, let's see. So rollback is involved with that. Updating is involved with that. Restoration is involved with that.
I'm not sure if it's an enabled
function. Here, maybe in the history we put it here. This includes the versioning. Data, which is also associated with updates, rollback, restoration. There's a number of other functions that are related to the history of something. Okay. Anything else from anybody?
Yeah. Hey, Ben. We have talked so much about alignment with ORAN and models and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we need anything in this scope to say that this is driven from a model of the network, or is that assumed, or doesn't have to be said?
Well, it's not a model of the network. It's the open data store, right? So it uses the data it stores should be defined by metadata ingested. But I'm not sure.
Right.
Is that stated or is that assumed?
And that's exactly what I'm asking, because we have talked about it a lot, but in the way this is defined, someone could it could be an implementation choice.
Like a not a vendor specific and a model driven.
Well, the idea is that you don't really know the schema of the data that you're going to store until you're told to store it. In essence, just before you're told to store it, you're told you're going to store this kind of data, and then you have to adapt to that data set.
Yeah.
True. One thing I don't want to happen. Suppose different people work on this after some time. We don't want this data store to be defined in a model which is different from, especially if you're mentioning mobility, and if you talk so much about ORAN and CDBB. Maybe you can just say it coordinates with, you have a whole harmonization project, right?
Theoretically, you wouldn't need a harmonization project, because if I develop this to be able to ingest, I have an external tool that can take a Yang and convert it into the data create or schema create functions that this would support, then it doesn't matter whether there's no project, because I get the data set. You give me the Yangs and the tool will be configured to be able to store that data set, a data set of that.
Right, but it doesn't,
So what I'm kind of hearing is that this enables model adaptation. So depending on the schema that's used, let me write something and see if you like it. Schemas that are.
I think you're saying two things here.
That define.
You're saying that you want a dynamic schema.
And define.
And that you want model transformation.
DB.
We want to enable model transformation for a dynamic schema. I think this provides the dynamic schema. Yeah. And then it's external, because for ORAN and for the CM data, okay, it would be a Yang model that's ingested. But if I was looking at other types of data, it may not be Yang, and it may not be CM. And so I'd need a different transformation mechanism to transform the data model into whatever is used to create the schema.
Okay. How about we wordsmith this sentence? Does this sound like a start? So depending on the schemas that are used to define the DB data elements, it allows for the adaptation and or transformation of models from other sources. From
yeah,
is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So another thing that would kind of characterize the this thing is that we should probably think about how, I mean, it could be designed so that it operates with edge and central type ONAP installations eventually. Maybe not now. This is something we've marked as future.
Well, you want to design for the distributed. I can always deploy a single distributed node centrally, right?
Design for distributed operation, basically.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say here. Yeah. So, okay. But Shankar had a concern that basically because it was a common service, that ties it to any specific ONAP installation.
I think that's true.
And that installation could either be an edge or central.
Yeah.
And the consequence. So what you're saying, the DB shall be designed to accommodate distributed operation between
as part of its role in the ONAP installation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, good.
Good with that, yeah.
Okay, and then scope. The runtime DB shall also actually scope. I'm just going to delete because there's a whole section on scope. So, all right. Okay. So this is the basic view we've talked about many times, and the next section is on the scope. So we're going to run out of time. There's only 15 minutes left here. So let me show you really quickly the main bullet points. So there's the scope, and it's good we spent a lot of time on this because it's probably this is a very very important section to spend time on. So that's fine.
We only have 30 minutes.
Yes.
Will be like, so we invite three people over. We may not have other people.
Oh, we'll have other meetings to continue this. Yes. Yeah, so.
No. Just strategy, because David may not have to join.
Worry about that. Let's go ahead and if I can join on the later ones, I'll do it. Or I know several people on the call. I can talk to them if there's something that comes up that we need to do. So.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
We're okay for next time. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll work it.
You're okay. Okay.
So there's a section on scope that tells that if you look at the clamp proposal, it describes the extent of what it does. It describes its kind of basic functions and things like that. The functional flows, I think I'm just going to point people to the functional flow wiki that we've all worked on. So there's already a whole page dedicated to flow stuff. Seed code, so I mean I would expect us to be talking about the config DB basically, the code that already kind of that this is springing from or any code that exists. We have made 5 presentations to the architecture subcommittee now, and the first 3 were a discussion about how runtime DB kind of fits into this thing architecturally, so we should add some words about that basically. And that's also part of the template as well. Other things that are in the template are things that describe its operation, its dependency on other projects. So if there's any other projects we depend on, whatever, like controllers, ANAI, whatever, we can say that here.
So things like security would be in here, right?
Security, yeah, okay.
Email.
Yeah.
And the map, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep. But other than that, it should have been fairly short.
Yeah. Right. Let's see. So there's another section on declaring any open source projects that we depend on. And then there's a chance to list all the people that are relevant. And then let's see. Sorry, now we reached the end of the thing here. I need to, okay. And there's other information and key project facts. Let me see if I can link to TSC approval. Okay. Clamp closed loop VC use case release one. Okay. All right. So I think, let me see. So is this some. Made all these heading threes, yeah. All right, so that should be some kind of heading three here. Maybe operational description. This is dependencies. I should probably capitalize everything. I'll go back and do that. Okay, and then there's two separate types of dependencies. So ONAP. Project dependencies. And there's open source dependencies. Right, and there should be, I'll clean this up, but we, so this is a heading four. Okay, and then resources heading three already. I should cap that. Key project facts, they have a heading two. I think that's fine. We'll add a table here. The contents, okay. All right. Then to your project name, I think we still need to discuss the name of this thing. Repo name. Lifecycle state, primary contact, key project facts, heading two. Okay. So I don't know who will gotta fill this in. So I'm just giving you a sense of what we still have to fill in here. Committers, contributors, link to TSC approval. Right. Yeah, go ahead, John.
So Ben, the project name, right? It's project name. If we talk about database names different, we talk about project can be different name, but we're talking about database application name was different, right? Project name could be, you know, we can talk about
Ben, your recommended name was what? Data persistence layer?
Data persistency.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the actually, I can't claim credit for this. So the Ericsson presentation had called it a data persistency service.
Yep.
I like the idea of the word data persistency something, just yep. because it's very.
I like the idea of the service as well, actually.
It describes kind of what this thing is, which I like.
But the application name, it can be runtime or runtime configured. The project name, it can be data persistency, because it could have potential several other impacts too for the project per se, right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not tied to any particular name, but mm-hmm. I'm happy to discuss what we think the best name for the project is. Yeah, so... okay, if we're happy with data persistency service, I'm completely happy with that. That sounds very good to me.
I'm okay with that as a thing. We clearly talk about that. I think somewhere though you need to make that statement of its initial, its first focus, right, is to provide the runtime config DB, right.
When you say first focus, what do you mean by that?
You're going to go off and you're going to do a release, whatever the first iteration is, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be trying to solve the problem for the config data mm-hmm. set.
Right. And that's what I think if we look at this project proposal thing, it does describe the first usage, right? So the first use case and usage of this project will be a runtime configuration data persistency application.
Right.
Applied to the OFSON PCI release 6 use case, which we can link your
right
to.
There you go.
We can find a link for that and OFSON PCI use case, which is here. I should have probably just copied the link here. Copy link location. Okay. All right.
And also potential slicing too. You know, they say stretching, but you know, if they use network slicing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So let me see if I can find a link to that. Looks nice here.
Yeah.
Copy link.
Okay, hey, Ben and Joanne, can I briefly interrupt? Mm-hmm. And because I wanted to ask David Kinsey, there's a call at 10, and I'm actually have to miss it today, but Swami will be hosting it. But we can talk about we had a discussion about SQL and not SQL and schema model conversion and all that.
Yeah.
If you're free, we could talk. You could
just coming up here in
call.
A few minutes.
Yeah, it's the following call right after this one. Yeah.
And yeah, I can stay there, for that.
If you could, that'll be great because Martin will also usually come for that call, and Sandeep I think is on this call. So I think Joanne, you have updates, right? We could talk to Sandeep and Martin about that. That would be very useful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So then. Yeah, thanks, Shankar. David, I'm going to forward the meeting 10 o'clock to you.
Okay.
I look forward to you now.
Let me put the link of this page for everybody into the chat. Let me just. This meeting is also being recorded, so I will upload the recording to the runtime config.db use case page as well, which is here. So in this page, I've been uploading our recordings and meetings and stuff to here. So, okay. So we just have a few minutes left, about 10 minutes or so left. Yeah. We should probably just continue to see how far we can get. If this is really great, what we've accomplished so far already, I think this is super. Just having the basic definition, the project description is really an accomplishment. So I don't think we need to talk too much about the flow because there's a whole page. Joanna and Marge and I spent a bunch of time already on the flows, and you know we can work on those at another time. But I think that's in good shape. Maybe let's talk then the last 10 minutes just about the scope. So if we look at the Clamp scope, for inspiration, let me take a look at that real quick. So it talks about, the scope. It kind of talks about the things it does. It doesn't so much talk about the things it doesn't do, but it talks about it kind of describes the things that it does. It breaks down the things that it does into major pieces, basically, and then it has the flows. So I guess, do we want to characterize, maybe a good way is to sort of characterize the basic functions of this thing. So what are its major operations? I guess it can essentially write information. It can receive information. It can read off a DMAP bus, right? It can publish information onto DMAP. And I don't know if we want to say anything about. It needs to sort of, not intelligently, but update itself according to, let's just say some
maintain
rules.
Maintain referential integrity.
Yeah, that's perfect. You're wonderful. I maintain referential integrity. I like those words. Okay. Okay, and read, write, publish, subscribe. And subscribe, get a STC our service package, getting essentially key artifacts from vendor provided packages. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See the package we're talking about yesterday. We were talking to our ETP internal. Like we had a quite discussion on this modeling, right? For runtime DB, right? In order for initially we're thinking that the modeling, see the package, the runtime configure DB can, kind of parser, use new parser, parse the see the package. Would be very a lot of involvement for Sandeep for the currently database. Mm-hmm. So the suggestion that the existing capability we have for the SDNC, they already had a microservice. They already received the package. They have a new parser, parser the data. Mm-hmm. So with the insight, we go to SDNC to get see the package. We will get it from SDNR. So they have the information that we don't need to just go from the runtime configure DB perspective. We don't need a parser. They did work. We just get information from SDNR since we have a lot of interaction between SDNR and the runtime configure DB. So just give you update.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can mention that kind of details we can get into later, but I get your point. Okay. So the two most fundamental things are I write into the database and something is reading from the database. So let me see. We're writing information. We receive information so we know what to write. And this is part of the reception, I guess. So did it do that? Okay. And that we let other people know about changes and then something to basically perform self-checks when, the sort of checks that we need. And then getting information, however we get it, from the SDC CSARs.
You got to see the package. You may not mention SDC, maybe SDC. Do you want to mention name? Just so we need a model-driven CSAR package, right?
The thing is that a vendor-provided onboarding package is also a CSAR package. So you need another adjective to differentiate it between, because this is also a CSAR package.
Okay.
So people don't know what it is if you don't say that. I think we're almost out of time here. So 5 minutes. Okay. Let me see how I wrote that. Bolded, capitalized. Okay. Let me just be consistent here. Okay, I'll add sentences to these later. Okay, can anybody else think of any basic thing that we do?
Yeah, the most important that we need to get, they would say the real-time synchronization with network. Synchronization. With network elements, it would be say, or better say, which device, whatever we call data element.
Okay, well, I think in ONAP, network elements are called XNAPs, right? So maybe we should use the
word. Okay.
Do you want to mention anything about ANAI?
Yeah, so, and yes, so syncing with ANI, which is essentially a real-time view, of network
inventory.
No, ANI is not real-time review for the network inventory. It's our data inventory.
What did you say? All data.
Our data, our run configure DB is real time. The ANI is not real time. ANI is only got instantiation from the.
If you read ANI's project, it claims itself to be a real time view of the network. If I were to go to ANI's project description, you'll see that it describes itself as a real time network.
Okay. Well, eventually will change, but ANI from the point of view wouldn't be the real time.
It's real time in the sense that when something disappears, mm-hmm. it will update itself, right? Real time views and services and their relationship. It absolutely is real time. If it weren't real time, that would mean like once a day, you know, it goes and checks, you know, these 10 network elements have disappeared or those 5 network elements have appeared. It's real time because when the network element disappears within milliseconds, it knows about it and updates itself. I think it's an absolutely a real time view of the network. It also self-describes itself as a real-time view of the resources and service and their relationships. And that's what we want. That's what we want. I think when something appears or disappears, we want this thing to be aware of that, right? So, okay.
I would say the ANI is not network inventory. Will be the real-time view for the PMP object. It's an ANI it's not designed for network inventory. I'm telling you.
Okay, let's use its own definition then. Mm-hmm. It says it's a real-time view of the resources and services.
Services. Okay, that's better. Yeah.
And their relationships, right? We don't need their relationships, mm-hmm. just their services, views. Yeah, okay. Is that okay for you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. Ability to unit and information from DMAP, which will contain information that. Okay, sorry. So I think we're out of time. All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining. I'll stop the recording here. And you have the pages in the chat and the place to go to listen to anything or download and get to other links. Okay, thank you very much for joining. We'll set up another meeting at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much, everybody.